Well, good morning. Thank you, music team, for leading us. Isn't that refreshing to our hearts just to join our voices together and sing God's praises? Absolutely. So thank you so much for that. We appreciate that so much. It is a privilege for me to be with you today and to share in God's word together as we worship him this morning. Bruce is a friend of mine. I love Bruce as a friend, as a brother in Christ, and as a brother in ministry. And we pray for him. We pray for you and your whole church family, your ministries together, and your ministries in this community regularly at our prayer meetings at Harrow Baptist. And so I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in the south end of the county this morning. And they are carrying on this morning and praying for you as we meet here together as well. Well, let's just pray and then look into God's word together. Father, we love you. We are privileged to belong to you and to each other as your people. And as we gather here in this place this morning, we need to hear from you. And so we pray that you would speak to us and impact our hearts, our lives, our interactions as we spend this time in your word now. We pray that you would open our hearts, our ears to what you have for each of us and for all of us collected as a church family this morning. And so we commit this time to you and look forward to what you will do among us. And we do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever walked into a grocery store, probably on the way home from work, and you just needed to pick up that one item? Maybe you got a text at work, on your way home, pick up this. And so you pull into the grocery store and you walk in and you find yourself quickly distracted. Has that ever been you? Maybe you bumped into a friend and you talked to them for a minute. Then you look up and you see that flashy, wonderful display reminding you that you don't have enough chips for the Super Bowl yet. And so you rush over and grab a bunch of those. And then there's a big sale on something else. And then you leave and you get home and you come in the house with two or three bags of groceries. And they say, yeah, but where's this? You know, the one thing you were sent for. It's like, oh, have you been there? You got to the grocery store, forgot what you went for? Guys, help me out. I'm not the only one, right? Okay, all right. Have you ever walked into a room and just stopped and went, why am I in here? I've forgotten why I came. Have you? Maybe. I've done that a few times. I'll walk down the hall and walk into my secretary's office, and Mary will say, Steve, what do you need? And I'll go, apparently I need to go sit down and remember what I was going to ask you. I'll be back. You know, that happens, doesn't it? We walk into a room and forget, or we see somebody and somebody else says something to us in that room and that distracts us, or there's something interesting on TV, or we see that half a can of pop that we forgot to finish, and suddenly we forget what we were doing. Does that ever happen to you in this room? It's possible, isn't it? It's possible to come and gather in this room together and forget what the point was. We can rush in on Sunday and say, I've got so many things to do because I'm serving in this area, or I'm on this list, or I'm on that schedule today, and so I've got to run in, I've got to get those things done. Or today I can't forget, I've got to speak to these three people, so I'm looking around to see if they're here, and I'm going to corner them, and so I'm trying to keep that my eye on the people around me. Or, oh, I've got so many things to do this afternoon, and, you know, we're checking our watches and going, when this is done, I'm out of here because I've got things to do. And it's easy for us to go through even a morning like this and leave having really kind of forgotten what the point really actually was. At times, we all need reminders, don't we? Individually, as families, as a church family. There are times where we just need reminders. We need to pause, just catch our breath, focus for a minute, and remember. Why is that? Why do we need to remember? Well, consider this. In 2017, a professor of cognitive and behavioral neurology in the UK, Adam Zeman, did a study and wrote a paper on amnesia and memory loss. And in his paper presenting the findings of his study, he said, he mentioned these two patients in particular, Peter and Marcus, these two men. And he said they described their amnesia in very similar terms to each other. One said, "My memory of my past is a blank space. I feel lost and hopeless. I'm trying to explore a void." Both men said that they were so frustrated looking at photographs of themselves because they could recognize themselves, but they didn't remember the occasion or the event at which the picture was taken. One of them said, "It's like reading the biography of a stranger." One said he was conscious of recent memories, things that he knew he had experienced. He said he could almost feel them slipping away like ships sailing off into the fog, never to be seen again. And he's like, he just couldn't grasp them and keep them. As he wrote his summary of his study and what he found, Professor Zeman focused on two things. He concluded this: first, without memory, it's hard to cling to an identity. One of his patients actually said to him, "I do not have the moorings that other people draw on to know who they are. There was just nothing to connect me. I don't understand." The second highlight was, it is hard to have hope when we don't know our past. He concluded with these words, "The inability to invoke the past greatly impedes our ability to imagine the future." We are here this morning in a worship service, which is a communion service. We've gathered to remember. To remember together who we are, where we came from, what we've been rescued from, how we've been rescued, who we are and whose we are. We've been called together this morning to remember where we are headed. And so I'd invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We will read the first 10 verses, and then we're going to focus on a couple of these verses this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy, and he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." I want to focus our thoughts this morning on this word, remember. Look at verse 8. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Remember Jesus Christ." And we stop there and say, "Are you serious, Paul? I mean, this is Timothy. You trained him up for ministry. He knows the deal. You sent him to Ephesus to pastor that church. You left him there to straighten things out." Like, he gets it. He leads in worship. He teaches the word. Seriously? You've got to remind him to remember Jesus Christ? I mean, we're here this morning in a Christian church. We're here as followers of Jesus. We don't need to be reminded, do we? I mean, we've been singing songs about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We study about Jesus. We certainly don't need to be reminded this morning, do we? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we do. You see, it wasn't too much longer after this letter was written to Timothy, who's pastoring the church in Ephesus, that Jesus wrote a letter to the very same church. And in Revelation chapter 2, he said to them, "You're working hard. Good job. You're standing for the truth. You're making sure you're accurate in what you're teaching. Well done. You've got things happening that are good, and even in a setting where you are being harassed and oppressed and you're having to endure opposition, you're standing strong. Fantastic. But you're doing it all now out of routine. You're doing it now all out of a sense of, I guess this is who we are and what we do, and it's us against the world. But you do not love me the way you used to. And your love for me is no longer at the center of what you're doing. And so you're carrying on life and ministry well. You're withstanding pressure from outside well. You're teaching the truth well. But where am I? I'm supposed to be at the heart of this. In that same series of letters, Jesus wrote a letter to the church in Laodicea. And he said to them, you're pretty sure you've got life and ministry figured out. And you've got a lot of things going on inside, and there's a lot of noise from inside the church, and things are happening, and there's stuff going on, and that's great, but you got a problem. And what was the problem? Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 20 tells us this. And by the way, this is not a verse written for evangelism. This is a verse written to the church. Jesus said, I am standing outside. Like, you've got stuff going on in there, and it's about you, but I'm locked out, and I'm on the front porch. And I'm knocking on the door. And if anyone will just listen and invite me in, then I will come in and we will fellowship and we'll have something going again. But whatever you've got going on in there, I'm outside. So yes, you and I need reminding, don't we? I do. We all do. Absolutely. And the language here, the grammar in verse 8, isn't just remember Jesus Christ. It's keep on remembering Jesus Christ. Keep on remembering Jesus Christ. We come to communion this morning, and when Jesus told his followers what the Passover meal was really all about, what deliverance was really all about, who was really at the center of it all, he said, do this in remembrance of me. He instituted something here that would help us to continue to remember Jesus Christ. So we pause this morning to remember. When you pause this morning and remember Jesus Christ, what picture comes to your mind? What picture comes into your heart right away? Is it Mark chapter 1, when the leper comes to Jesus? A leper. No one had approached him in how many years? He was able to approach no one in how long? He hadn't felt the touch of another human being in so long. He couldn't remember. But he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you are willing, you could heal me. Do you remember what Jesus did? Jesus looked at him and he was filled with compassion. And Jesus did something very important. He reached out and he touched him before he healed him. He reached out and touched him. This man who hadn't been touched and cared for and even seen as a person for so long, Jesus saw him and he reached out and touched him. And in compassion, he smiled and said, oh, I'm willing. And he healed him. But what did he do for his heart and his mind first, before he ever dealt with his body? Is that what comes to your mind, the compassion of Jesus? Is it the authority of Jesus? In Mark chapter 2, as Jesus is sitting in a house that's just loaded, people are sitting in the stairs and everybody's all over the place as he's teaching. And then the dust starts to fall, and somebody cuts a hole in the roof and they lower their friend down on the mat in front of Jesus. You remember what Jesus did that day? Jesus healed him, right? No, not right away. Jesus forgave his sin. Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. You remember the response? People all went, you can't say that. Only God can forgive sin. And I wonder if in that moment there was a smile that crossed Jesus' lips as he said, yes, and so that you know who I am, and that I do have power to forgive sin, I'll do something else only God can do, only I can do. And he healed him. Jesus, full of compassion. Jesus, come to forgive, come to seek and save the lost. Is that what you remember? Do you remember Jesus in Mark 4 in the back of the boat with these seasoned fishermen sailing across the Sea of Galilee? How many storms had they ridden through on those boats in their lifetime? How many times had they encountered waves and wind and storms? But this time was different. These seasoned sailors are panicked, and they're sure this is the storm that's taken them down. Really? This is the one that's going to end it all? Jesus is in the boat and everything? And they go back and they say, Jesus, why are you napping? Like, this is serious here. Do something. What were they expecting? Jesus stood up and yelled at the storm, peace, be still. And the storm didn't start to calm down. The wind stopped and the waves stopped. It was over. And you remember the disciples who had been so afraid in the storm, and they are now even more afraid. Because now they're looking at Jesus and going, who is this? Who is this? He is the Son of God himself. Jesus is no life coach. He's no superhero. He's no role model or political reformer. Jesus is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. And so we keep remembering him, the Son of God, and his heart for us, his compassion for us, that he would come to seek and save us, that he would come and grant us forgiveness, that he would come and dwell among us and be God with us. That's amazing. That he would come and suffer for us. What other picture comes to your mind when you stop to remember Jesus Christ this morning? Is it the first time? The first time you experienced the compassion of Jesus Christ as God worked in your life and met a need, and you went, oh, God would help me? Is it the first time that you understood what it meant to receive his grace, that the true, the living, the holy God of the universe is also the gracious one, and that he says, come to me, and when you did, he forgave you for your rebellion and gave you the righteousness of his Son? The first time that really sunk in, do you remember that? Do you remember that? Do you remember seeing him for who he is, Son of God, our only Savior? Do you remember understanding how he sees you when he looks at you? Have you started looking at other people with the heart and eyes with which Jesus looks at you? Do you remember this? Friends, don't rush through devotions and Bible studies and prayer meetings and church services and the routines of life. Keep on remembering Jesus Christ. Worship him. Tell others about him. Remember Jesus Christ, who he is. But then he says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Remember also what he's done. Jesus offers forgiveness and life. And life. Without resurrection, we have no hope. But he did rise again. And so we have a glorious living hope. Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus conquered sin and death. He conquered them both. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us in verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Fear of death, it's gone. And so we can join in the taunt of 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? Gone. Jesus said so. He conquered death and sin. Amen? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Look at what he's done. Look at what he offers us. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. Remember who he is and what he did, but also why he came. Now, there are those that would say, well, this phrase tells us, as it ties in with the fact that he rose from the dead, that's his deity, and he's descended from David, that's his humanity, and they come together in Jesus. Okay, yes, but I think there's something else going on here. I think what he's also telling us is why he came. Jesus is the one descended from David for whom the people had been waiting. Jesus is the one who came to fulfill the promise and plan of God. He is the Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ. That's not a name, that's a title. That's the Greek for the Hebrew Messiah. Remember, Jesus, Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is the promised king to come through the line of David, to rule and reign forever. He's not merely a king, he's the king, the promised king. He's the king of kings. Remember him. He's the promised deliverer who came and who will come to rescue God's people and to reign forever. In the first century, it didn't take people long to start teaching that Jesus was not descended from David, that he was a good revolutionary, had a nice movement going, a good teacher, but he was not the promised Messiah. People started teaching that. Didn't take long for them to start teaching that Jesus died and he's a martyr and he's an example for us, but he didn't rise again. Didn't take long for that to start happening. And Paul is telling Timothy and telling us, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David. This is important. Even today, people have their own ideas of who Jesus is. You don't have to go very far. You just listen to the news and you even hear people quoted and interviewed, talking about who they think Jesus is and what they think Jesus would do in certain situations. It's amazing how it's often so similar to what they would do in a certain situation. We may need to rethink some of those things. We need to look at who Jesus is. Remember him as he is. And remember that this is what was preached in my gospel, Paul says. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 9? If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If we are not preaching the resurrection of Jesus, we are preaching an incomplete gospel. It's not just that Jesus died to pay for your rebellion, it's that he rose again and offers you life. We have to have the whole package. We have to have the whole package. And so this is what we remember as we come together. But look at what happens when we remember these things. What's the impact of remembering who Jesus is, what he did for us, and why he came? The impact is this. Look at verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And when we keep on remembering Jesus Christ, we are strengthened in the grace that is his, that is in him. We are reminded, look at what he's done for us. Look at what he's done in us. Look at what he's done among us. And he's not going to abandon us now. What are we told in Philippians 1:6? He who began a good work in you and in you, he's going to complete it right up until the day Jesus comes back. He's going to keep on working. God has no unfinished projects in his garage or his basement. He finishes what he starts, and that includes in you and in me and in us. Amen? So we are strengthened in the grace that is in Jesus. We're reminded that ministry and life is his work, not mine. It's about his power, not mine, his glory, not ours, his strength, not whatever we can combine together. When we remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, we are strengthened in the grace that is in Jesus. We also then stay committed to the gospel of Jesus. Verse 2 says, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We tell others the good news and that they might go and tell others. We're disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That's how this works. And when we remember Jesus and who he is and all he's done, that continues to keep us committed to the gospel. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything. Now, that's a big word. You know what it means? That word that's translated here, everything in English? Here's something interesting. Here's what that word means. Everything. Think back through Paul's life and all that he endured. Paul says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? There's people out there that need to hear the gospel, And they need to hear it from me, he says. So whatever I have to endure in the process, bring it on, because this is about Jesus. And it's about his power in me, and I'm strengthened in his grace. I'm committed to the gospel so that others will know. And when we continually remember Jesus, we're prepared to endure suffering for him and for others. Look at verse 3. Paul says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It's our turn. So carry on. Carry on. He died for me. Look at who he is. The Son of God. Died for me? What? He died for me? Surely I can endure a few things. And a heart of gratitude to him. Amen? He died for me. He died for me. And look, he says, look at how they treat me. And don't be surprised when they treat you the same way. And so when they come after us, what do? We say, we are his followers. And we will suffer with Jesus and for Jesus, whatever the cost, to bring him honor and glory and to continue to point people to him. He says, I endure everything, including, verse 9, prison. He says, this has been preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. He's locked up and locked away. But he says, that's okay, because it's not about me. And it's not about you, and it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And he says, if you notice something interesting, when you look at my jail cell and the iron bars, and when you look at the chains that I've got chaining me to the wall here, you know what's interesting when you look around my cell? I am chained, but God's word is not. And I am continuing to share the gospel even here. Why? You can't chain the living word of God. And he says, so whatever I'm enduring, okay, that's the next day, that's the next step God's got for me, but I'll keep sharing the gospel. And when this happens, when we continue to remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, we are strengthened in the grace that is in Christ. We are committed to the gospel of Christ. We continue to endure suffering for Jesus and others. And now I'm in a position to remind somebody else. I'm reminded that we're in this together. Look at verse 14. Remind them of these things. And then he adds some more that he wants them to teach as well. It's like, Timothy, you keep remembering Jesus Christ. Don't let yourself be distracted. Remember Jesus Christ. Why? So that you can remind others and you can keep them remembering. So that together we do not lose focus. Friends, this world will try to isolate you from the people of God. This world will try to intimidate you from believing and teaching the Word of God. This world will try to infiltrate you to derail the mission of God. This world will try to confuse you about the Son of God and who he is and what he's really all about and what it means to follow him. Don't let that happen. Plant yourself right here. And part of having a renewed mind as we soak up the Word of God together is that we keep on remembering Jesus. So friends, if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, I have to remind you, he is the only way to the Father. The only way. He's the only way to find forgiveness. He's for your rebellion against God. He's the only one to find eternal life. He's the only one who can give you help and hope. That's it. He's the only hope you have. He, God made him who knew no sin, took on your rebellion and mine to be punished for that, so that we could now stand before God, not on our own merits anymore. Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? But when we stand before God now, we stand in the righteousness of Jesus. That's amazing. You can't miss out on that. Don't miss out on that. So if you're here and you have never explored what it means to be a follower of Jesus, then you call this church this week and you make an appointment to come in and talk. You talk to somebody that's been up here this morning and you find out what that's all about. It's too important to just let it sit. Deal with that. But if you are a follower of Jesus, then brothers and sisters, be encouraged this morning. Do not forget where we come from, whose we are, where we're headed, and what we've been left here to do. Let's keep remembering Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, and why he came. What will help you keep remembering? Stay in the Word. Talk about Jesus with each other. Talk about Jesus to other people who don't know him yet. Listen to music that will keep bringing back the truth of what Jesus has done. Keep remembering, even now, as we come to this time of focused remembrance, this communion service, where in 1 Corinthians 11:26 we are told that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do two things. Number one, we proclaim his death. We announce again, we know and believe that the Jesus Christ is the only one who can pay for our sin and grant us forgiveness and life. He's the only way to God. We proclaim his death. But we do it for how long? Until he comes. We're reminded that this isn't the feast. This is a hint of what's to come. Our hope waits around the corner. Aren't you glad and grateful? Oh, may he come soon. Amen. God bless you as you keep on remembering Jesus.